Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Gospel according to John 3:16. Everyone would know what John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Message Bible says it this way. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son. And this is why. So that no one need to be destroyed. By believing in him, everyone can have whole and lasting life. I think of all the words in all the books of the Bible, these words are probably the most well-known words. You know, you could go to a cricket match and you would see a sign put up. Sometimes you get, you know, hands on hold or holds on hand or whatever it might be. You see lots of little signs, you know, "Will you marry me?" But often you will see one sign, a John 3:16 sign, and everybody around would know what that sign is. They would know what it means. They'd probably even, without being able to quote word perfect, they'd probably have an understanding of what it really meant. But if you held up a sign, Isaiah 3:16, I don't think it would have the same impact. Now, without going to your Bibles, does anyone know what Isaiah 3:16 says? Don't go to your Bibles, don't go to your apps, don't go to your phones, don't go to your iPads. Does anyone know what it is? But how many people would have been able to put up their hands if I said, "Somebody, John 3:16, put up your hands if you know what John 3, yeah, that's it. That's exactly what it is. This is what Isaiah 3:16 says. "The women of Zion are haughty, walking along with outstretched necks, flirting with their eyes, tripping along with mincing steps, with ornaments jingling on their ankles." Now, obviously, that's not what you would put up at a cricket match. And people wouldn't even know what you were putting up if you did that. But John 3:16 is different. The story surrounding John 3:16 came out of a conversation that the Pharisee named Nicodemus had with Jesus one night. It all begins with Nicodemus's statement in John 3:2, where he says, "Rabbi, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." Why did Nicodemus say these words to Jesus? What was the real reason for his late night visit? Why the secrecy? Why couldn't it have been done in daylight? Well, there's a whole lot of reasons for that. We'll quickly work through them. First of all, you notice that he calls Jesus Rabbi, which means teacher. It's a title of respect. So he knows that Jesus is a teacher from God. He also acknowledges in his little statement that Jesus has performing miracles, which means that Nicodemus was probably following Jesus, checking out what he was doing. But what's the purpose of all of this? What was Nicodemus really wanting? These are more than words spoken by a man who just happened to like what he saw when he followed Jesus around. There had to be more to Nicodemus's question and Nicodemus's statement, because Jesus responded in a different way to how you would normally respond if you were asked a question. Excuse me. Jesus didn't say, "Hey, Nicodemus, thanks for those kind remarks." Instead, he knew what was going on in Nicodemus' heart. He knew what Nicodemus was really trying to get at. And so instead of making some nice statement, he says, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, Jesus is not being mean-spirited as he had been to some of the Pharisees before. He wasn't being cynical towards Nicodemus, but he was zeroing in on Nicodemus' spiritual condition. And so from verse 4 to 15, We witness a conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus about what it means to be born again, what it means to be born of water and of the Spirit. At first, Nicodemus makes a smart comment about not being able to enter into his mother's womb for a second time. He said, "What do you mean? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" A smart comment, a flippant comment to Jesus, "Unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of God." But Jesus, being who Jesus is, was patient. And he says, "I tell you the truth, that no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and of spirit." And again, we'll see in regard to baptism today a little bit of the significance of that. In using the analogy, water and spirit, Jesus is referring back to some images that are in the Old Testament. See, Nicodemus is not some fool. He's not some uneducated person. He was a member of a religious order called the Pharisees. He was a teacher himself. He knew the Old Testament inside out. I love the way that Jesus often gives us answers in things and analogies that we ourselves can appropriate. So let's quickly look at what Jesus meant when he talks about water and spirit. In the Old Testament, it's the Spirit who brings life to creation. You only got to go into Genesis 2 when God breathes the Spirit of life into Adam to understand that. Then in Psalm 104, verse 30, it says, "When you send your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth." And then the prophet Joel speaks of a future outpouring of the Holy Spirit that is said to bring life or new life to God's people. So we understand that spirit brings life. But the water is a little different. In the Old Testament, again, looking back at the analogy that Jesus is using, water is always a sign for cleansing and a sign for rebirth. We see that in the analogy of the Israelites as they passed through the Red Sea from Egypt into the wilderness, going on into the Promised Land. In true sense of the word, going down, walking along the bottom of the riverbed and coming out of the bank on the other side with the water rolled back is really a type of them being baptized. Type of them being born again from the old life in Egypt into the new life to come in the Promised Land. In the temple, we see that the priests were washed with water, so there was a cleansing. And then in Ezekiel, the prophet brings water and spirit together when he says, "I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. And I will cleanse you from all impurities and from all idols. I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you." So being born of water and spirit is really talking about the work that God does in our heart. And then Jesus finishes his conversation with Nicodemus by drawing his attention to his own death, or impending death on the cross. And he says in verse 14 and 15, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." And so, in that little quick overview, we've seen what's taken place from verse 2 of John 3 to verse 15. And it's that final statement in verse 15 that sets up the context for this now well-known verse that we so often see around the place. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And it's at Christmas time that we celebrate that. We celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate God's love. We celebrate the amazing gift that God gives us. And we also recognize the cross in the process, because I don't think you can separate the cross and the birth. I think they run hand in hand because it is one of God's great plans for us. And then in verse 17 it says this, For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And so God's love is an incredible thing. And the whole reason, the whole purpose of Jesus coming is that we might be saved. We might be removed from the word perish or destruction, and that we might be given the gift of eternal life. And so just as much as Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about being born again and the reason for it, the understanding of it, that it wasn't some old law of the Old Testament, but there was something new, something vital, something fresh happening. And that came through the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, through that incredible free gift that was given to us. And all Nicodemus had to do was believe on him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have eternal life. Question is this what you believe? See, God has loved us from eternity. God has given us his only Son so that none should perish. The only clause is that we have to believe it, we have to accept it, and we have to ask God, through Jesus, to forgive us of our sins. Again, let me read this to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God loves, God gives. We believe, we do not perish, and we have eternal life. Love that began in the heart of God overflows into new life for the repentant sinner through the Lord Jesus Christ. I think Nicodemus received much more than he expected on that night when he had visited Jesus. In fact, I don't think I know, because we read from later accounts that Nicodemus became a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of his disciples. The reason that John tells us of this meeting, of this conversation, is so that we too might believe and become a follower of Jesus, receiving the free gift of eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this simple gospel message today. We thank you for, Lord God, the incredible significance of really what we're celebrating at this season. The whole purpose that Jesus, God's only Son, was virgin born, was Emmanuel, took on flesh, became a part of us, that travelled through those 30 years to his death so that he would be a sacrificial lamb for us, that we might be once again restored into that rightful place of fellowship as God's sons and daughters. Lord, I pray that as we celebrate Christmas, as we think about the season that makes some of us, Lord God, just so frustrated and so busy, Lord, I pray that we would just take time to pause, to think on this. And Lord, as we come to the baptism today, as we come to the dedications today, Lord God, I pray that we would also understand that baptism and what those that are doing, those that are being baptized are doing, Lord God, is indicating their relationship with you and their desire to be obedient to you. So, Lord, we pray you have your way now in Jesus' name. Amen.